The Power of Devotion, Remembering Sri Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavata. Sri Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavata was absorbed at the feet of his guru, Sri Ramana Maharshi, on April 10, 2000. 25 years after his passing, the influence of his adamant and uncompromising devotion continues to draw sincere devotees to the feet of Sri Bhagavan. Sri Bhagavata used to say that he saw Sri Bhagavan before him more clearly than the sun. Undoubtedly, Sri Bhagavan's grace was always inundating him, allowing Sri Bhagavata to establish Arunachala Ashrama in the West and bear unflinchingly the trials and tribulations he had to face in doing so. His every breath until the last was offered to Sri Bhagavan, and he abided in the firm awareness that the main purpose of life was fulfilled, which is abiding as the eternal, unchangeable self. As we walk into the temple at Arunachala Ashrama, Nova Scotia, we read the following words framed on the entrance wall. Thou hast been building thy own temple in the cavity of the lotus of my heart, so that I may worship thee with the fruits and flowers of my breath. The words were written by Sri Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavata, founder of Arunachala Ashrama, in New York and Nova Scotia. By the grace of his guru, Sri Ramana Maharshi, Sri Bhagavata, by dint of his unflagging perseverance and unconditional surrender, came to experience the living presence of Sri Bhagavan Ramana at every moment in his daily life. Indeed, as he declared in his writings, his every breath was a prayer to his master. Now, 25 years after his absorption into Sri Bhagavan on April 10, 2000, we remember his dedication and uncompromising devotion to life's goal of self-realization or self-abidance with reverence and deep gratitude. Devotees who arrive at the ashrama, having heard of the greatness of Sri Ramana Maharshi and wishing to further experience his guidance, often ask, who is depicted in this picture? This man with the vibhuti, which is the sacred ash, on his forehead. The picture they are referring to is of Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavata, adorned with the sacred vibhuti of Shiva and brimming with joy and love for his guru. Sri Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavata was born on November 8, 1912, in the isolated village of Sahuri in Bihar, India. No road led to my village, he would say. He grew up surrounded by the sacred songs and writings of Kabir, Sur Das, and Tulsi Das, and absorbed the great truths of the Bhagavad Gita and Ramayana, which were regularly sung in his home. Known in his boyhood as Bhagavata Prasad Singh, he exhibited an affinity for learning. And though his parents were not lettered, the boy rapidly demonstrated his intelligence and capability at school, making rapid progress in his studies. Showing the idealistic bent that would guide him throughout his life, he became part of Mahatma Gandhi's non-cooperation movement at a young age and took up the struggle for national liberation and self-realization. These activities led to his incarceration when he was just 17 years old. Bhagavata used his time in prison to commit the sacred verses of Bhagavad Gita to memory, imbibing the spiritual wealth that he would readily share with one and all in later years. After his release, still keen to further his education, he completed his high school in Calcutta and his BA at Patna University in Bihar. This led to a teaching position in Darjeeling. It was here that Sri Bhagavata, while reading Paul Brunton's A Search in Secret India, first beheld the picture of Sri Ramana Maharishi. He felt drawn to Sri Ramana immediately and had an intense desire to visit him at the holy mountain Arunachala. The year was 1941. While Sri Bhagavata was not able to visit Arunachala until the year 1960, the intervening years were very eventful and formative for him, and his love for Sri Bhagavan grew deeper and deeper with time. Sri Bhagavata was drawn strongly to the ideals of democracy and national freedom as espoused by the Mahatma. This idealism manifested in him as a desire to see the bastion of democracy at that time, the New World, America. Without having any formal contact in America, but with an unwavering faith that somehow he was meant to be there, he set out on the sea voyage in 1947. Continuing his studies while in America, he obtained his MA in journalism at the University of Iowa and obtained employment at the Indian Embassy in Washington, D.C. The employment was short-lived, and Sri Bhagavata found himself often looking actively for new employment, as his wife, Yoga Maya, had arrived to join him from India. Their son would be born to them in 1953. A momentous event occurred in 1954, which rekindled in Sri Bhagavata the flame of devotion to Sri Ramana Maharishi. He describes it as follows. On Wednesday, October 13th, 1954, I was in the guest cottage of a Quaker couple, Helen and Albert Bailey Jr., located on their farm in Westchester, Pennsylvania. The cottage was situated in a valley near their residence. On the second floor of the cottage, my wife, Yoga Maya, our 15-month-old boy, and I were occupying the large wooden-framed bed that night. In the second half of the night, I saw Bhagavan sitting on the bed near my head. Although this was a dream, I saw it as clearly as I see the sun during the day and remember it vividly. His famous figure was near my head and his legs were dangling. Arunachala Shiva, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi, stayed near my head for quite a while so that I could drink deep in him. Bhagavan simply kept on looking at me, and I was filled with joy and happiness and could not turn my eyes away from him. I do not know how long this lasted, but once I woke up, I could not return to sleep and sat on the bed meditating on him. All morning and day, I kept on thinking of the darshan Bhagavan had given me in my dream. That dream enabled the sugar doll to be dissolved in the divine ocean of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi. Since then, I have not been the same Bhagavata I used to be. Indeed, the sugar doll was dissolved in the ocean of Sri Ramana. His mettle was sorely tested as employment opportunities dried up in the United States. And with no work to be found, the family returned to India in 1959. Though materially very poor, the light of Sri Bhagavan in his heart was undimmed, and the desire to visit the sacred mountain of Arunachala remained unabated. He was drawn to Arunachala as Sri Bhagavan sings in Arunachala Aksharamanamale, like a needle to a magnet. He was finally able to visit Arunachala with his nephew in the year 1960. 19 years after the initial flame had been kindled in Darjeeling. Oh, what a homecoming. He says that the moment he saw Arunachala, he found himself swimming in the bliss of Sri Bhagavan. Another insight that Bhagavata shared with devotees was the reason, perhaps, why he had not seen Sri Bhagavan while still in the body. He explained that it was Bhagavan's grace. Because if he had seen Sri Bhagavan while he was still in the body, he might have succumbed to the misconception that Sri Bhagavan was the body. But now it was clear to him that Sri Bhagavan was not limited to name and form, but rather he was that ever-present, immutable, underlying consciousness that is the source of all. While at Sri Ramanashram, Bhagavata met with Sri Bhagavan's great devotee, Arthur Osborne, who encouraged him to start regular satsangs to share the teachings of Sri Bhagavan in America. Though unsure if he was actually going to return to America, he agreed to the suggestion. As fate would have it, Bhagavata did return to the United States in 1962, accepting employment in the Indian mission to the United Nations in New York City. Though Bhagavata was encouraged by the new employment, he was not certain why Sri Bhagavan would have brought him to a place like New York City. What could be the reason for transplanting this simple village boy to the center of the new world? Oh, Sri Bhagavan has reasons for everything, as events would reveal. In November of 1965, Bhagavata started weekly meetings at the American Buddhist Society in Manhattan to share the teachings of Sri Bhagavan. The following year, in 1966, Arunachala Ashrama Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Center was incorporated and registered as a charity with the state and federal governments. A meeting room was rented at 78 St. Mark's Place in 1967, and the weekly meetings became daily. In 1969, the ashrama moved to a rented storefront on 342 East 6th Street near First Avenue and remained there for the next 17 years. Sri Bhagavata's devotion and dedication and his firm faith in the grace of Sri Ramana Maharishi were the driving factors in the establishment of Arunachala Ashrama. Even when there were no other devotees present, the devotional songs and chanting of the sacred hymns would continue. And the effects of these continuous prayers, of course, could not be denied. Devotees were drawn to the ashrama and to the feet of Sri Ramana Maharishi. In 1972, an ashrama was established in the Annapolis Valley in Nova Scotia, Canada. It was Sri Bhagavata's desire to establish a country ashrama where people from Wall Street can sit on the grass and bask in the teachings of Sri Ramana. But it was not by merely visiting the ashramas in either New York City or Nova Scotia that one could obtain the greatest benefit, he clarified. Intense practice of the teaching was also required. He would say, this is Arunachala Abhyasa Ashrama. Abhyasa meaning spiritual practice. Pointing to Sri Bhagavan's photo, we would often hear him repeat to new visitors, he teaches and we practice. He has made me his servant and servitor, his doorman and doormat. He would also equate spiritual practice to physical labor, saying that one has to dig ditches continuously without slacking for the effort to have effect. He would also say, is it just by passing in front of the medical school that one becomes a doctor? No, one has to work for it. And for all of the devotees, he was the model of continuous, unrelenting, joyous practice. His love for Sri Lalita Sahasranamam, the thousand names of the Divine Mother, was unending. He asked for and obtained permission from the authorities in India to chant these holy names and a sacred Sri Chakra consecrated at Sri Ramanashram was sent and installed in the temple. He would melt at the chanting of this litany, and devotees would also be inspired to learn and recite these praises of the Divine Mother. His mind would be inwardly drawn during the recitation, as is demonstrated by the following incident. Once, our friend Dennis was driving with Sri Bhagavata from Nova Scotia to New York. It was winter and there was a snowstorm in progress. Undeterred, they set off in the car from Nova Scotia as Bhagavata commenced the recitation of Lalita Sahasranamam. The storm increased in intensity. The recitation continued unabated. Suddenly, the car hit an icy patch of highway and swerved out of control. There was no telling what was going to happen next. The car kept turning at full speed, a full 360 degrees, with passengers being flung from side to side. Thankfully, the careening stopped when it hit a deep snowbank. With a great deal of maneuvering, Dennis managed to free the car from the snowbank. He turned to Bhagavata and realized to his great amazement that throughout the life-threatening ordeal, Bhagavata's chanting of mother's names had continued absolutely unbroken. As if nothing had happened, he continued the chanting and the voyage continued. Sri Bhagavata's entire life was consumed by his devotion to Sri Bhagavan and his ashrama. He wrote thousands of pages of prayers and petitions to Sri Bhagavan on his typewriter, the Hermes 3000. These prayer manuscripts, as they were called, reveal the deep intensity with which he clung to the feet of his guru and the love that he felt for him. He at times shared his writings with devotees when the request was made to read from his prayers. Some of these writings have been published in the book titled In Search of Self and are indeed revelatory. People say that New York City is no place for the pursuit of peace and happiness, as there are many distractions. But I have been so completely submerged in Bhagavan's grace that I have no time for anything else but to meditate on Bhagavan. That advent of Guru Ramana at Arunachala is the signal to mankind that everyone can practice his path without leaving his home or job. If we can succeed in turning our gaze inward and spend a few minutes doing it regularly, every day at a fixed hour, both in the morning and night, we shall surely be launched on that wonderful path, which is the summum bonum of human life. He taught the direct path of self-inquiry and asked us to practice, "Who am I?" This is the path which does not require any ritualistic discipline on the part of the follower. It is immaterial to which religion one belongs. All religions of the world teach us the same thing: how to find the self within ourselves. The most important thing is to apply the teachings to our lives by constant practice. Even without ever seeing Bhagavan physically, I find my whole life transformed by him. It is Bhagavan's grace and blessings that have brought me to the present phase of my life. My childhood dream of knowing the secrets of spiritual life has come true, and from that moment in Darjeeling Himalayas, when Bhagavan's name came into my life, I have always considered him as my guru. But I had to wait for 13 years until Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi gave me darshan in a dream. Since then, I have become his servitor and have been on the road to Arunachala. I don't think I could have been fortunate enough to drink the nectar of Bhagavan's teaching if I had seen him in the body. No number of lectures or book readings could have given me the insight into the self, which thy very name of Bhagavan has bestowed upon me. For me, any place and time is good for meditation. Bhagavan's grace has so overwhelmed me that I ride the crest of the wind and travel to the nth place. But where is the nth place in our wide world? That is right in our heart. If we simply withdraw our attention from the external world and turn to the heart, we shall find ourselves diving deep into the river of peace and bliss. At any time, any place, and under any circumstances, we can take a few minutes off from busy life and spend them in meditation and saturate ourselves with peace and bliss. If we chase the shadow, we shall never succeed in catching it. But if we turn our back on it, like a faithful servant, the shadow will follow us wherever we go. If we pour oil on fire, we can't extinguish it. Similarly, by craving for and fulfilling our desires, we shall never be able to quench our thirst for enjoyment. Happiness is within, and we have to dive deep to experience it. When we dig a well for water, we don't go digging just anywhere. We look around and select a place which has the potential for it. Then we start digging and go on doing it until we find not just a trace of water, but the source of continuous supply. So, we must start digging for the water of happiness if we want to quench our spiritual thirst. When I begin to describe my deep experiences, words freeze and sentences lose their power to communicate. My life is now so much saturated in Bhagavan that I don't need to read books or cultivate austere disciplines. The very name of Bhagavan is the boat for me, on which I can cross the ocean of ignorance. So much power floods into the heart that I feel like opening its floodgates and letting the world be drowned in Arunachala's peace and bliss. Nothing in my life is secret. Whatever comes to me from Bhagavan belongs to all. But when the sun rises, all the buds do not blossom. Those who are ready for partaking of Bhagavan's grace shall be led to the ashrama where the great Guru Ramana abides and will draw peace and bliss to enrich their lives. Guru Ramana is the self in the heart and he is ever there to guide us to the truth. The evening before Sri Bhagavata's passing in Arunachala Ashrama, New York, on April 10, 2000, he listened intently to the morning and evening Veda Parayana. Since suffering a stroke 18 months earlier, his mobility had been restricted and he rested in a wheelchair for many hours during the day. Despite his physical limitations, his enthusiasm and friendship with devotees never waned. He was often unoccupied with his physical frailty, forgetting about the body. The light of Sri Bhagavan shone on his face and he remained cheerful. There was no indication that the end of the earthly journey was imminent. As he retired to bed for the night, he was told by devotees, "It is now 50 years since Bhagavan's Mahanirvana." He nodded his head in acknowledgement, gently closed his eyes, and peacefully entered Sri Bhagavan's abode. Cremation of the earthly remains took place on April 14, 2000, marking exactly 50 years since the Mahasamadhi of Sri Ramana Maharishi. 25 years after his absorption into Sri Bhagavan, the inspiration Sri Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavata embodied continues to inspire devotees and encourage them to tread the mountain path. He gives us hope. Although, like him, we have not seen Sri Ramana Maharishi in the body, we can still be assured that his guidance and grace are always here, available to all. Bhagavata encourages us to partake of his deep, unflinching devotion to the feet of Sri Bhagavan, the same devotion that carried him from a small village in Bihar to the heart of the New World, New York City. We have seen by his example that even now, one can experience the divine presence of Sri Ramana in our lives. No matter what our outer circumstances may be, and no matter what difficulties might present themselves before us in our journey, the grace of Sri Ramana Maharishi, the silent sage of Arunachala, will be the beacon light that illumines and clears our path. Thank you, Sri Bhagavata. We are ever grateful. Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Ramanaya.